رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي امري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقهوا قولي وبعد السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته الحمد لله we thank Almighty Allah for bringing us together again to continue our studies in Bulugh al-Maram. In our last class we were still in Kitab al-Janaiz and the last hadith we read was the hadith talking about how to follow the funeral procession, and we read the hadith of Salim and Abihi أن مراء النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم وأبا بكر وعمر يمشون أمام الجنازة. Salim narrated from his father. This Salim is the son of Abdullah bin Umar. Okay, so he is the grandson of Umar bin Khattab. He is Salim bin Abdullah bin Umar bin Khattab. So he said he narrated from his father because him is the Tabi'i. Okay, he did not meet the Prophet, but he saw his father is the companion. So he narrated from his father, Abdullah bin Umar, that his father saw the Prophet ﷺ and Abu Bakr and Umar yamshuna amam al-janaza, they were walking in front of the janaza, that is the dead body. Okay, so we explained this hadith in detail last week, saying that this hadith is mursal. Okay, so it is not authentic because Salim is he cannot be narrating hadith from it, he cannot see the companions of the Prophet. It cannot be denominated the Prophet. So we said all the ahadith narrated concerning the position of the person following the funeral are weak. So scholars conclude that it is permissible to walk in front of the dead body, it is permissible to walk behind it, it is permissible to walk on the side, either the right or the left side. That was what we concluded in our last week's discussion. Today we shall continue from the next hadith, which is the hadith of Umm Atiyah. وعن أم عطية رضي الله تعالى عنها قالت أم عطية one of the female companions of the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم may Allah be pleased with her. She said نهينا عن اتباع الجنائز, we were prohibited from following the funeral procession, ولم يعظم علينا, but it was not a strict prohibition upon us. متفق عليه. Yeah, this is reported by both Bukhari and Muslims, agreed upon. This hadith indicates that it is not permissible for women to follow men when we are taking the dead body to the grave. Okay, she said, Nuhina, we were prohibited. When a companion says we are prohibited, who prohibited them? They are referring to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. That's why this kind of hadith is considered as marfu. Al-hadith al-marfu is a hadith that the chain of narration connect down to the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم. Okay, so it is called marfu hukman. It has the ruling of marfu because nobody would prohibit or command the companions except the Prophet. But when a tabi'i, someone who didn't meet the Prophet, said nuhina or umirna, then that hadith will not be marfu because he did not meet the Prophet. It's likely he is referring to the companion. Okay, so the hadith will be considered as mawquf. Now, so this hadith shows that women are not allowed to follow the funeral procession while we are taking the dead body to the grave. Okay? Umm Atiyah said, وَلَمْ يُعْزَمْ عَلَيْنَا, but it was not a strict prohibition upon us. What she meant by this is that this prohibition, you know, prohibition in Islam are divided into two. We have prohibitions that are haram. We have prohibitions that are makruh. When you say something is haram, meaning if you do it, you have a sin. And when you say something is makruh, it means it is disliked, it is detested. It is better to leave it. When you leave it, you have the word. But when you do it, you have no sin. That is makruh. So if she says that this prohibition was not a strict prohibition, what she meant by that is that it's not prohibition of haram. It is prohibition of makruh. Now, that's why scholars differ in their ruling concerning the ruling of women following the funeral procession. Majority of the scholars are of the opinion that it is makruh, okay, it is disliked. Because for her to say that it was not a strict prohibition, she must have noticed something. Probably she may be relying on some circumstances around that make her to understand that this prohibition from the Prophet is not a strict prohibition. Okay, so majority of the scholars are of the opinion that it is makruh. While some scholars are of the opinion that it remains haram, alright, because notice hadith can be divided into two. you have nohina and ittiba janayiz. We were prohibited from following funeral procession. That is the instruction from the Prophet. This later part of the hadith, وَلَمْ يُعْزَمْ عَلَيْنَا, that is just our own understanding. Okay, of which he may be right or wrong in understanding. So, some scholars have known that the ruling theory remains that it is prohibited. Why? Because of the fact that women are weak. Alright, if we allow women to be following us to the grave while we are going to bury the dead, there will be a lot of problems. Some women may not be able to hold themselves. They can be crying, they can be shouting. Even when you are taking the dead body from the house, you can see the situation of women at that time. You will see women, when somebody dies, they will cry, isn't it? And they will all be silent when they finish crying, while the dead body is still being prepared. At that particular point, when the men will go and pick the dead body, they will start crying again, isn't it? That's when they will start shouting the more. So if you now ask them to now follow to the grave, what do you expect? Okay, it will work. Okay? So, there's going to be more further, then there will be harm in it. Likewise, that's one problem. Another problem is the fact that it may lead to free mixing of men and women. Okay, mixing of men and women at the burial ground or in the process of going to the grave. So, the best thing is for women to avoid following men during funeral procession. As for candidacy, alright, after that or not, there is a hadith on that. We'll discuss that ruling when we come to that hadith inshallah. Now, the next hadith is وعن أبي سعيد أن رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم قال أبو سعيد said the Prophet, the Messenger of Allah said, إذا رأيتم الجنازة تقوموا. The Prophet said, when you see the funeral, or when you see a dead body being taken to the graveyard, تقوموا, stand up. Okay, فَمَنْ تَبِعَهَا فَلَا يَجْلِسْ حَتَّى تُوضَى. And whoever follows the funeral procession, whoever follows the dead body, فَلَا يَجْلِسْ, when he gets to the graveyard, he should not sit down, حَتَّى تُوضَى, until the dead body is placed on the ground. Okay, until the dead body is placed on the ground. مُصَفَقٌ عَلَيْهِ. Okay, the hadith is hadith upon by Bukhari and Muslim. So this hadith indicates that whenever we see the funeral procession, when people are taking the dead body to the graveyard, when they pass by you should stand up. Okay, you should stand up. This ruling, some scholars have revealed that it was at the beginning, okay, but later it was abrogated, it is mansukh. Because there is another hadith of Ali ibn Abi Talib where he said the Prophet commanded us to stand for the funeral procession, then after that he commanded us to sit down. Okay, so some scholars have you know that hadith of Ali indicates that this particular ruling is mansukh, is abrogated. While other scholars of Jura know, the hadith of Ali does not indicate abrogation. What it simply indicates is that whichever one you do, there's no problem. That is the view of Imam and Nawawi. Okay, in his opinion that the hadith of Ali indicates that standing up is part of the sunnah, or if you choose to sit down, then it's not a problem. When the Prophet was asked in one of the narrations, he was asked by that the funeral, the person that they were taking to the grave was a Jew. Okay, and he said, Alayhi said, Nafsan, is it not a human being, is it not a human soul? So meaning that this ruling of stand up for the cause is for both Muslims and non-Muslims. Okay, so whenever we see a dead body being taken, we should stand up. Okay, if we want to. And if we choose not to stand up, then there is no problem. In other narration again, he said, إِنَّمَا نَقُومُ إِعِظَامًا لِلَّذِي يَكْبِرُ النَّفْسِ or النُّفُوسِ. He said, we are standing up in glorification, in honor of the person who takes the soul. Meaning we are doing it for Allah, not for the dead body in particular. Okay, so the ruling remains, inshallah, if we see a dead body being taken to the grave, we can stand up. But if we do not stand up, there is no problem. Imam Nawawi say it is mustahab. Alright, it is just a recommendation. Now, وَعَنْ أَبِي إِسْحَقِ أَنَّ عَبْدَ اللَّهِ بِنْ يَزِيدِ رضي الله تعالى عنه أدخل الميت من قبل رجل القبر وقال هذا من السنة أخرجه أبو داود. Okay, Abdullah bin Yazid is a Sahabi رضي الله عنه. He said this Abdullah bin Yazid أدخل الميت من قبل رجل القبر. He when they were about to put the dead body into the grave, he made them to put the dead, he put the dead body into the grave from the side of the foot, okay, of the grave. Okay, meaning the side that the leg of the dead body would be. That was the part that was first put into the ground. Waqala, he now said, Hadha min as-sunnah. He said this is part of the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Akhrajahu Abu Dawud. This hadith indicates that when we want to put dead body inside the grave, we can put it beginning with the side of the leg. Okay. It is also permissible to put the dead body beginning with the side of the head. Because another hadith of Abdullah ibn Abbas, where he said the Prophet laid dead body into the grave beginning with the side of the head. Okay. So all are permissible, inshallah. Okay, we can put the dead body from the side of the head, we can put it from the side of the leg, whichever one is convenient, depending on the weight of the person. Sometimes the weight may determine which one is starting. Alright, and if the person is very fat or is heavy, sometimes putting him down from the side of the head may be easier. Sometimes putting him down from the side of the leg may be easier. It all depends on the weight of the person. It depends on the number of people inside the grave that are trying to lay the person. So all these circumstances may decide which one we should do. But whichever we do, either the head or the leg, all are permissible, inshallah. Now. وعن ابن عمر رضي الله تعالى عنهما عن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم قال إذا وضعتم موتاكم في القبور فقولوا بسم الله وعلى ملة رسول الله أخرجه أحمد. Okay. This is Abdullah ibn Umar. He said, the Prophet said, إذا وضعتم موتاكم في القبور, when you place your dead one inside the grave, فقولوا, you should say, Bismillah wa ala millati Rasulillah. Say in the name of Allah and in accordance with the tradition of the Messenger of Allah. That is the zikr to say. Okay, when you are putting the dead, those people, the two or three people that will drop inside the graveyard and help in placing the dead body. Okay, that's what they're supposed to say. Okay, but sometimes you go to the graveyard, what do you say? La aida illa something like that. Okay, they're not supposed to say so. They're supposed to say Bismillah wa ala millati Rasulillah. Now, very simple zikr. It's not difficult to say Bismillah wa ala millati Rasulillah. That's what they're supposed to say. Akhrajahu Ahmad wa Abu Dawud wa Nasai wa Sahihahu Ibn Hibban wa allahu ad-Dar al-Qutni bil-Waqt. Alright, Imam Dar al-Qutni of the hadith has illa, is defective because it is mawkuf. The chain of transmission stops at a companion. Allah Kulli Hal, virtually all scholars of hadith accepted this particular narration. So that's what you are supposed to say when you are burying the dead. There is another hadith, okay, it's not narrated here, but there is another hadith in which it was reported that when the Prophet was burying one of his daughters, alright, when they were about to put the daughter in the ground, the Prophet recited the verse in Surah Al-Faha, minha khalaqnakum wa fiha nu'idukum wa minha nukhrijukum taratan ukhra bismillah wa ala millati rasulillah. Alright, so he recited that verse before saying this particular supplication. So if we do that, even though many scholars of hadith disagree with the authenticity of that particular hadith, for this particular narration, it's more acceptable, inshallah. Now. Then the hadith of Aisha. When Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha, anna Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam qala, Aisha narrated that the Prophet said, kasru azmi al-majid ka kasrihi hayyan. The Prophet said, breaking the bone of a dead person, of a dead body, can cancel it higher. It's like breaking it while the dead person is alive. Oh, Abu Dawud, the isnadin ala sharfi Muslim. So the Prophet Abu Dawud, with the state of translation that meets the standard of Imam Muslim. Wazada Ibn Majah min hadith Umm Salama. Ibn Majah in his own narration has an addition from Umm Salama. The Prophet said, till eating, meaning breaking his bone while dead, it's like breaking his bone while alive in terms of the sin involved. I still eating, in terms of the sin involved in that action. So, this hadith shows that we're supposed to honor the dead body. Okay? We're supposed to honor the dead body. Don't maltreat the dead body. Okay, so you don't have the right to break his body, to break his bone, or to mutilate his body generally. okay, you have no right to mutilate the body of a dead person. Now, this is unanimously agreed by scholars. But there are some instances in which scholars permit mutilating the dead body. Okay, when I say mutilate now, you may need to maybe cut him open. Cut his stomach open, or cut his heart open, or cut any part of his body open. If that is for the purpose of investigation, investigating the cause of death, okay, it is permitted. Secondly, if it is for the purpose of, you know, trying to understand, still related to cause of death, that is, if there was, let's say, an outbreak of disease and people are dying, and there is need to make investigation concerning that disease that is killing people, okay, so based on this, because discovering the cause of death or discovering the particular disease will help in making research as to finding cure for it and also preventive measures. So for that reason also it is permissible. Then if it has to do with cutting him open for the purpose of education, alright, like it happens in our faculties of medicine in our university, okay, they have part of their practicals, they do practicals on dead bodies to teach students. Here, scholars say that it is not allowed to use the dead body of Muslims. Okay, so if they can find dead body of non-Muslims, fine. Since they don't have anything in their religion that prohibits. Okay, but we have a direct instruction from the Prophet prohibiting mutilation of the dead body. So, preferably, it should be the dead body of non-Muslims. But the dead body of a Muslim has a honor which should be accorded to him just the way it is accorded to him while he is alive. You understand? So we should not use dead body of Muslims for practicals. Okay? You can use dead body of non-Muslims. Even at that, it should be with care. Okay? Some scholars say you have to obtain permission from the owners of the dead body or from the relatives. And then they also say that it should not be done in such a way that license is given for anybody to start mutilating anybody's body. All right, as far as we are concerned in Islam, the human body is sacred. All right, the human body is sacred. That's just what I'm trying to say. No. The next hadith: Wa an Sa'd bin Abi Waqqas radiyallahu ta'ala anhu qala, said al-hidu li lahdan. Sa'd bin Abi Waqqas was one of the companions of the Prophet. So before he died, he did this wasiyah. He said to his people, those that were around him, he said, Al-Hidu li lahdan, and make my grave to be a lahad. I want to explain here that the grave is very into two. There are two types. We have the shak and we have the lahad. The one we do here mostly is called shak. That's the one that you dig down, then you dig another slim one in between, isn't it? That's what we do here. And the one that is done by the Prophet and his companions and is done today in the Arabian countries is Al-Lahad. Al-Lahad means you dig down, then you now dig by the side, to the right. Alright, so that's facing the Qibla, I mean, okay? Facing the Qibla, so that is Lahad. That is so that when you are now burying the person, you are going to lay the person on his right side, facing the Qibla. Raise him like this, not like this. Okay, it's going to be like this, facing the Qibla. That's how you put him inside the lahad. As you dig down, then you dig to the side, facing the Qibla. So Sa'd bin Abi Waqqas is saying to his people, Al-Hiduli Lahdan. When you bury me, you know, make my grave to be a lahad. And I'll say, once Dibu Alayya Al-Labina Nashban. Then after you place me inside, you should place unburnt brick. Al-Labin is brick. You know brick, right? So you should now lay brick. Okay, by the side of the lahad, of the grave. Okay, it says kama suni'a bi rasulillah, just the way they did for the messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Wow, Muslim. So that was how the Prophet was buried. It was lahad. You dig down, then you dig by the side facing the Qibla. So when you do it, when you put the dead body standing, you know, if you don't put anything, it can fall back. Okay, so they will now put bricks to block it. If you don't have bricks, you can put wood, short wood like that to block so that the body will stand, okay? Like that before you now feel it will stand. So he said that was what they did for the Prophet and he wants that to be done for him as well. Well, in Bayhaqi, Imam Bayhaqi in his book narrated an Jabir radiallahu ta'ala anhu nahwahu, he narrated a similar hadith. Waza, that there was an addition there. He said, wa rufi'a qabruhu. He said, وَرُفِيَ قَبْرُهُ عَنِ الْأَرْضِ قَدْرَ الشِّبْرِينَ, and that his grave was raised above the ground, okay, the span of a hand. A shibr means here, or at least in the span of hand. So if you raise it a little bit, okay, we're going to come to a hadith where the Prophet prohibits building the grave. That's the 79th hadith, okay? But when you bury the dead person, if you level the hand, next time people will come, they don't know that there is somebody inside, isn't it? So we need to force hand over it, let's raise it a little bit to indicate that this is a grave, or that somebody already has been buried here. So that's what Sa'd ibn Abi Waqqas was saying to his people. Say, was Sa'd ibn Abi Waqqas. Now let us take the next hadith. So when a Muslim anhu, Imam Muslim also narrated from Sa'd ibn Abi Waqqas, Naha Rasulullah said, the Messenger of Allah prohibited and you just suffer al-qabr. The Prophet has prohibited plastering the grave. At-tajseed means plastering. So when we bury the person, you know what some people do now? They will now build it a little bit and then plaster it. Okay, now this is haram in Islam. Okay, وَأَنْ يَقْعُدَ عَلَيْهِ The Prophet also prohibited sitting on the grave. Alright, you don't sit on it. In our place here, mostly after burying it, we use stone to round it. Some people, when they go for burial, they sit on that stone. This is wrong. Alright, you don't sit on the graveyard. Okay, وَأَنْ يُبْنَ عَلَيْهِ Now, he also prohibited building over it. This hadith, there is another narration of Jabir that has the same three prohibitions. At-tajseed, al-qu'ud, al-zina. Plastering, sitting on it, and building on it. Then in addition, the Prophet also say, وَأَنْ يُكْتَبَ عَلَيْهِ He also prohibited writing on it. Okay, now, so these were the four things that came in the another version of this hadith. That version is narrated by Jabir. Okay, so we don't use. In fact, one of the hadith of Ali ibn Abi Talib said, the Prophet commanded me that I should go to the graveyard and that I should not leave any grave that has been built except that I do what? So that I level it. وَأَنْ لَا أَتْرُكَ قَبْرًا مُشْرِفًا إِلَّا سَوَّيْتُ I should not leave any grave that has been built as I may elevate it except that I should level it. So we don't use over grave. Okay, we don't use over the grave. This is something, this is a practice that is most common among non-Muslims. Unfortunately today, even some Muslims are beginning to do it. Okay, and that is wrong because it's one of the things that lead to shirk. It's one of the things that lead to shirk. As for writing, now since I mentioned it, as for writing, scholars divide writing into two. Okay, there are those who will, they will not build anything on it. Okay, they will cover it with sand. Then they will now use a slate to write the name and date of the person, the date that the person died. They just write the name and the date of his death and just put it by the side of the grave. They do that. Some people do that, isn't it? Some scholars commit this. Okay, Sheikh Uthaymeen said if the purpose is for identification. Because sometimes after a while you may not be able to identify the grave of your relative anymore if you go to the graveyard. So if the essence of writing the name and the date of death is just for identification, then no problem. But if you write name, then you now go ahead to start writing. Some who write name, you now go ahead to start writing some things about the history of the person. Praising him, it was one who did this, it was one who did that, he did his that, then that is also wrong. Right? Because by that way now you are imitating the people of Jahiliyyah. The people of Jahiliyyah used to do things like that. Okay? So if we write name and then write other things, praises and things like that, and that is wrong. But if it's just ordinary name and date, just for identification, then that would not be a problem, inshallah. وعن عامر بن ربيعة رضي الله تعالى عنه أن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم صلى على عثمان بن مظعون He said the Prophet of Islam prayed over عثمان بن مظعون وأتى القبر After the final prayer the Prophet came to his grave فحص عليه ثلاثة حتيات Then the Prophet poured three handfuls of sand on the grave وهو قائم while he was standing رواه الدار قطني Okay, so this hadith indicates that when you go to the graveyard, even if you are not among those who are participating in covering the graveyard with sand, you can first stand with your hand three times and pour inside just to have the reward of participating in burying the dead, inshallah. So it's not a problem. Here you see some people will be exchanging, some by some collecting the shovel. Even if someone will do small, another one will collect, also do another one will collect. It's not a problem. It's all with the intention of participating in having the reward for the burial. وعن عثمان رضي الله تعالى عنه قال كان رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم إذا فرغ من دفن المجد وقف عليه It says, the Messenger of Allah, whenever he finishes burying the dead, he will stand by it. وَقَالَ He will now say to his companion, اِسْتَغْفِرُوا لِأَخِيكُمْ Seek forgiveness for your brother. وَصَلُوا لَهُ التَّسْبِيحِ Ask Allah to make him firm in answering the question. Okay? فَإِنَّهُ الْآن يُسْأَلْ Because now he is going to be questioned. رَوْا أَبُو دَوْدْ وَصَحَّحَهُ الْحَاكِمُ So that is what is expected. Okay, when we finish burying the dead person, we are expected to supplicate for the person. Okay? And usually, through the Prophet, the supplication was done individually. Alright? It is not in congregation. If it's part of the Musa Dada, La ilaha illallah, Abu Musa Dada, That was not the practice of the Prophet. Alright? That was not the practice of the Prophet. Even today, very funny. When they gather now, they will be praying. If now another adult needs to make money. Adi, this one will bring 200 naira. He said me too, my mother died, they should pray for him. Pray for her. This one also will say, my brother died, they should pray for him. They have to give him money. In fact, that was the time I want to do the next one. As they were doing it, somebody said, nobody is praying for them. You, I don't say adwa. He said, I don't die, kadakana. They should wait. People are still bringing money. Is it not happening? I cannot think of it like that. It's happening now, I think. Yeah. They want to close, they say no, let us do it more. People are still bringing it. Yeah. So it has become an avenue to make money. All these are innovations in the religion. Right? These are innovations in religion. The practice of the Prophet is that he commands companions to seek forgiveness for the dead. It says, you know, they are seeking. Alright, wasallallahu atasri. Okay, ask Allah to make him firm. Because it's not the question, they're going to ask him, who is your Lord, what is your religion, and what do you know about the Prophet? So, ask Allah to guide him in providing the right answer. So, we pray individually, and when we finish, we leave individually. Alright, there's no beginning and end. When you finish doing your own prayer, you just leave. Okay, you don't have to wait for everybody. So like that, that's what is expected of us when we bury our dead ones. Now, wa an Dhamrah ibn Habib, ahad al-tabi'in. This Dhamrah is a tabi'in, it's not a companion. Qala, he said, kanu yastahibbuna idha suya ala al-mayyit qabruhu. وانصرف الناس عنه أن يقال عند قبره يا فلان قل لا إله إلا الله This is what is called التلقين This is called مسألة التلقين He said كانوا يستحبون They used to love They used to recommend Who are those? When a tabi'i says that Just like I said a while ago If a tabi'i said that we were commanded Or we are prohibited, or it is recommended. What he means that is referring to the companion. It's not referring to the prophet, because he did not make the prophet. Okay? Now, so this study is saying that kanu yastahibuna, meaning the companions used to love, they used to recommend, is a suya al-mayt qabruhu, when the dead body has been covered, the dead person has been covered with sand. Okay? One sort of annasu anhu, and people have left. And you call in the qabri, somebody should stay behind and say, at the grave site, Ya Fulan, all you so person, you call the person's name, the person that died. Qul, say La ilaha illallah, salat al-marat. You should say that to the person three times. Then you now say, Ya Fulan, all you so person, Qul Rabbi Allah, say my Lord is Allah. Wa dini al-Islam, my religion is Islam. Wa nabiyyi Muhammad, and my prophet is Muhammad. It's like you're giving him expo, isn't it? Because if they can't ask you now, the answer you give is what you are supposed to say. رواه سعيد بن منصور موقوفا right? It was reported by سعيد بن منصور موقوفا بسلل الصحابي that was not extended to the prophet وللطبراني نحوه إمام طبراني also reported something similar من حديث أبي أمامة مرفوعا مطولا he narrated it from the hadith of أبي أمامة مرفوعا with a direct change leading to the prophet in a long hadith that's مطولا in a long hadith this issue is highly debated among scholars Alright, virtually majority of scholars of hadith render this particular hadith as weak. Okay, this hadith is not authentic. Okay, first of all, it is mursal. Alright, reported by a tabi did not see the prophet. Okay, so it is mursal, there is a break in the chain of transmission. And then even the other narration that is saying is morfu'an, virtually all scholars of hadith have said that this particular narration is weak. alright, with soap. It is because of the weakness of this hadith, that is why scholars differ in their opinion concerning this particular act. Okay, there is no any single authentic hadith, okay, reported from the Prophet that he did this to any of his companions. Okay, likewise, there is no direct hadith from any of the companions that they did it. Okay, so that's why many scholars of hadith and many scholars of Ahl Sunnah have the opinion that this particular practice is bid'ah. Okay, it is an innovation in the religion. Okay, we are not supposed to stand and say, oh, so person, say this, say this, say that. No, what we are supposed to say, what we are supposed to do is to supplicate for the dead person. Okay, supplicate for the dead person. But as for giving him expo or things like that, it may not necessarily benefit him. Alright, it will not benefit. What to benefit him is his iman when he went to the grave. You understand? Even if you say that to him, if he is not a true believer, he cannot respond. You understand? He cannot respond. So, many scholars of that of hadith, of you know, this hadith, he is weak. Okay, so when we go to the graveyard, what we are supposed to do is to supplicate for the dead person. Okay, may Allah forgive him. May Allah make his graveyard spacious. May Allah admit him to paradise. May Allah make him fair in responding to the question. That was what we are supposed to do. Talking of prayer, okay, when you visit the grave, people can be categorized into different categories. You can visit a particular person, okay, you can visit a particular person, or let me delay this explanation, or someone will come to visit me generally. Al-Muhim, that's what we say, it's such a rule that I see from that one. Inshallah, I will come, okay, fine, look at the next hadith. وَعَنْ بُرَيْدَةٍ بِنْ الْحَسِيدِ الْأَسْلَمِ رَضِيَ اللَّهُ تَعَالَى أَنْهُ قَالَ إِذَا قَالَ رَسُولُ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ كُنْتُ نَهَيْتُكُمْ عَنْ زِيَارَةِ الْقُبُورِ. The Prophet said, I used to prohibit you from visiting the grave for Zuruha, but now you can visit it. For all Muslims. So supported by Muslims. So that this is authentic. Was that the Tirmidhi? Imam Tirmidhi in his own narration said, فَإِنَّهَا تُذَكِّرُ الْآخِرَةِ. Because visiting it will remind you of the hereafter. That Ibn Majah in Hadith Ibn Mas'ud. Ibn Majah in his own hadith of that he reported from Ibn Mas'ud, he said, the Prophet also said, what to zahid is dunya. It also makes you to renounce this world. Meaning it makes you to reduce enjoyment of the world. Okay? Because you think of the hereafter. Now, so this hadith indicates that initially the Prophet prohibited people generally, both men and women, from visiting the grave. But later, he now permitted it, and he explained the reason. The reason is that going to visit the grave will remind you of the hereafter. You will remember that you too, one day, this will be your final abode, isn't it? So that's, you know, al-akhirah. It reminds you of the hereafter. So what to that is the dunya. It also makes you to renounce this world. Alright, some people are carried away by the enjoyment of this world. By the time you visit the grave, it will remind you that you need to take it easy. Alright, the enjoyment of the hereafter is better than the enjoyment of this world. Because the enjoyment of this world is temporary. Alright, and it is nothing compared to the enjoyment of the hereafter. Okay? Unfortunately today, you are in the graveyard when they are defined. After they have buried the person, when we go to visit. Today, when we even go to bury, people in the graveyard, they are discussing about this world. Is that what happened? Yeah. Some stealing. Some people even steal. Steal phone. Alright? So you can just imagine. You can just imagine the state of mind of those people. That means that what they are seeing in the graveyard has no any impact on their heart. Alright? Somebody will be there, some people will be playing with their phone. Alright? As they are in the graveyard. Some are discussing, some are even laughing. As they are in the graveyard, this is wrong. Alright, you are expected to be sober. Alright, when you are in the graveyard, you are supposed to be sober, you are supposed to be silent, you are supposed to ponder over the hereafter. Alright, think about your own end. How are you going to end your life? Alright, look at the peak of the grave. Alright, look at the darkness, look at the tightness, look at the heat inside. Alright, think about all these things. How are you going to survive when you are down there? Okay, these are the things that we should think about. Okay, not that we should be going there and we're still distracted by what we have here. So, like I said, when you visit the graveyard, you're supposed to supplicate. You can visit a particular person. Alright, so you enter the graveyard, you walk straight to the grave, yeah, of that person, and you supplicate for that person. Also, you conclude your supplication by supplicating for everybody there. You can visit the grave generally without visiting anybody in particular. Or so you enter, you stand by any side of the graveyard and supplicate generally for the people inside the graveyard. These two are permissible and they are encouraged. There are people who visit some graveyard to supplicate to Allah. Alright, this is bid'ah. Okay, they are supplicating to Allah. Okay, but they believe if they do that supplication at the grave site of so-so person, Allah will accept the supplication more. Okay, so they visit the graveyard of the sheikh or in wali, and then they supplicate to Allah, oh Allah give me this, oh Allah give me that. Or some people say, oh Allah give me this because of this person. Okay, now, some people do this, this is haram, alright, and it is bid'ah. Okay, now, the third or the fourth category are those who visit graveyard to supplicate from the dead person. Alright, they go. Also, so wali, that is very dear. Please grant me wealth. Grant me children. My wife is barren. Grant her children. I am sick. Grant me cure. This is shirk. Alright, this one takes you out of Islam. Do you understand? So we should try as much as possible to enlighten our people to avoid this kind of practice. The next hadith: وَأَنْ أَبِي هُرَيْرَةَ رَضِيَ اللَّهُ تَعَالَى عَنْهُ أَنَّ رَسُولَ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ لَعَنَ زَائِرَاتِ الْقُبُورِ. Alright, it said the Prophet has caused women who visit the graveyard. أخرجه الترمذي وصححه ابن حبان. نعم, was supported by الترمذي and authenticated by ابن حبان. This hadith shows that apart from the fact that women are prohibited from following the funeral procession, they are also prohibited from visiting the graveyard. Okay, this particular issue also is contested by many scholars. Okay, there is difference of opinion sometimes among scholars as to the ruling of women visiting the grave. There are scholars who say it is haram completely based on this particular hadith. Okay, while some scholars of the opinion that it is permissible. Okay, it is permissible if it is not done frequently. Okay, they see za'irat here in what another narration it says zuwara, the sikat mubalaga, those who frequently visit the graveyard. So they said some other scholars of Zurah, it is when a woman does it frequently, that's when it becomes haram and she will fall under the curse of Allah. Those scholars also rely on another hadith. Okay, there's another hadith reported by Ibn Majah in which was reported that there was a time before was in the graveyard with the companion, they went to bury somebody, okay, or they went to visit the graveyard, and Umar saw a woman in the grave, or at the graveside, and he started shouting on her, questioning her, why is she here? And the Prophet said to Umar, he said, Da'ha ya Umar, say, leave her alone, O Umar. Okay, Imam Sana'ani, in his commentary of Bulugh Marami Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, he brought this particular hadith, okay, saying that this is what some scholars rely on to say that if it is not frequently, some scholars permit. Also, they rely on the hadith of Aisha. There's also a hadith of Aisha reported by Imam Hakim in his book Al-Mustadrak. Alright, where he reported that when Abdurrahman bin Abi Bakr, that is the elder son of Abu Bakr, died, he was buried in Makkah. And once there was a time that Aisha went to visit that grave. Okay, now this was reported by Imam Al-Hakim. Okay, so based on these narrations, some scholars, some of the opinion that if it is not frequent, then they don't see anything wrong with that. But many scholars, other scholars rely on this hadith to prohibit women completely from visiting the graveyard. Allah knows best. Sorry. وعن أبي سعيد الخدري وعن أبي سعيد الخدري رضي الله تعالى عنه قال لعن رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم النائحة. So the Prophet has called النائحة, a woman who wails, right, when a person dies. Right? Annaiha is wailing. The woman should be shouting. Alright, shouting. We are finished. So the person has died. Oh, this person has died. This and that. This is going to take care of his children. Oh, the man was a good man. The man was this and that. Start shouting, crying. Some will even tear their clothes. Some will be hitting their chest. This is haram. Right? The Prophet has called women who do this. They were Muslimia. And women who come to listen to people that are wailing. Alright? So both of them are caught. You know, today, alhamdulillah, I don't think Muslims do it, but in some tradition, there are professional wailers. You know that one? Yes, there are people, they are professional. If when somebody dies, you go and hire them. They'll come to your house and be crying. I'll be crying for you, for the person.
Yusuf is our friend, this was online. You know, so they are professional with us. And all these people are caught, right, by the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Now, okay? He said, Ummu Atiyah, while Ummu Atiyah radiallahu ta'ala anha qalat, Ummu Atiyah, may Allah be pleased with her. He said, Akhaza alayna Rasulullah. That the Prophet made us to play. You know, when people, during the Prophet, when you accept Islam, you come to do mubayah, you play. You pledge your allegiance to Islam. So when women come to pledge their allegiance, the Prophet will tell them some conditions to meet up. Among those conditions, he said, the Prophet took a pledge from us, Allah nanuha. Alright? Allah nanuha mutafakun alayh. The Prophet said that we should pledge that we shall not wail when a person dies. Right? It was part of the shurut al-mubayah. Okay? So women is completely prohibited in Islam for women or men to wail when a person dies. But does that mean that you cannot cry? You understand? You can cry. Okay? What is prohibited is wailing. And I say wailing is shouting or that saying things. Okay? But just for that somebody sheds tears. You know, when you lose a loved one, you will cry. Isn't it? Yes. It's painful. And the Prophet also cried, as we shall see in the next hadith. The one, Ibn Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhuma, and the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, Al-Mayyit. Okay, fine. Let's come to that. He said, Al-Mayyit yu'azzabu fi qabrihi bima niha alayhi. The Prophet said that the dead person is punished, is tormented in his grave because of the wailing over him. You understand? Mustafakun alayhi, I did the point. وَلَهُمَا نَحْوُهُ عَنِ الْمُغِيرَ بِنِ الشُّبَرِ Both Bukhari and Muslim also reported a similar hadith from Mughira bin Shubar رضي الله عنه. So you can see that wailing, apart from the fact that the person that is wailing is caused, even the dead person can be punished because of those that are wailing over him. Now the problem is this. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told us in the Quran, وَلَا تَزِرُ وَازِرَةٌ وِزْرَ أُخْرَى Isn't it? That you shall not carry the No soul will carry the sin of another person. So if somebody is not willing, why should you not punish the person that is in the grave? Do you understand? Yeah. So that was why many scholars in interpreting this hadith have opinion that this is in the situation where if the person who, the dead person, you know, did was fear, that when I die, you people should gather, you should cry a lot, and let people know that I died. So if the person did what he had, like commanding it, okay, then in that case now, you know, he is living for it. Right? So in that case now, he can be punished in this grave, okay? Or if it's somebody who used to see people doing it while he was alive and he used to encourage it. So indirectly, he's saying that even if when I die, the same thing should be done for me. So that's the issue. Otherwise, if a person is somebody who doesn't encourage it and who are prohibited when he was alive, then because of people who wait over him, that will not make him to be punished because that is their sin and he should not carry the sin of another person. No. Allahu a'lam. Then one Anas radiallahu ta'ala anhu qala, he says, Shahidtu binsan lin Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam tutfan. He said, I witnessed the burial of one of the daughters of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He said, wa rasulullahi jalitun inda al-kabar. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was sitting by the grave side while his daughter was being buried. He said, fara'aytu aynayhi tajma'an. So I saw his two eyes shedding blood. Okay, Rawahu al-Bukhari. And I said, Ma'an, he saw his two eyes shedding tears. Okay, so that means that the Prophet cried, right, when his daughter died. Okay, also we have read here when he lost his son Ibrahim. Right, we explained that before in our previous lecture that the Prophet cried. Okay, so what is prohibited is what the mouth says. Okay, but for the fact that you shed tears, that is not haram, inshallah. That's not haram, inshallah. Look at anything. Go, you can continue. You can continue, what? He said, وعن جابر رضي الله تعالى عنه أن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم قال The Prophet said, لا تدفنوا موتاكم بالليل. Hey, we said something like this last week. In this hadith, the Prophet said, لا تدفنوا موتاكم بالليل. Do not bury your dead ones at night. إلا أن تفروا. Except if you are forced to do so by necessity. Of ضرورة is necessity. Okay? Do not bury your dead ones by night. Except if you are forced by necessity to do so. أخرجه ابن ماجه وأصله في المسلم. The origin of this hadith is in Muslim. لكن however قال in that original hadith in Muslim it said, زجر أن يقبر الرجل في الليل حتى يصلى عليه. Alright, the Prophet warned against burying a person at night until that person, until the prayer, the funeral prayer has been performed on the person. Okay, so what this hadith is prohibiting is rushing to bury somebody at night, alright, without preparing him appropriately. Probably it's not properly shrouded, or even the funeral prayer is not performed on him. In that case, it will be haram to bury somebody in that like that. Okay, but like we said last week, ordinarily it is permissible to bury somebody at night. Okay, it's not haram. Okay, and like I told you, the Prophet himself was buried at night. Okay, even Abu Bakr was buried at night. Okay, so what is prohibited is, that's why Ibn Hajar brought something from that narration in Imam Muslim. Alright, hatta yusalla alayhi. Don't bury somebody at night until you have prayed over that person. So don't say because of now we are in a hurry, let us do it hurriedly and then we go to bury without the prayer, or go to bury without properly shrouding, or go to bury without properly washing the dead body. Okay, so this is the things that are prohibited. But we mentioned last week that there are three periods that it's prohibited to bury the dead. Alright, the first is when it's when the sun is rising. Alright, we don't bury the dead that time. Then when the sun is at the meridian, the hot afternoon, we don't bury the dead. Then when the sun is setting, those are the three periods that it is prohibited to bury the dead person. Otherwise it is permissible, inshallah. وعن عبد الله بن جعفر رضي الله تعالى عنه قال لما جاء نعي جعفر. When the news of the death of Ja'far came, Hina Kutla, when he was killed, Qala Rasulullah, the Messenger of Allah said, Isna'u li Ali Ja'far ta'aman, prepare food for the family of Ja'far. Faqad atahum ma yashgaduhum. Alright, something that would preoccupy them has come to them, has happened to them. Okay, akhrajahu al-khamsa illa an-nasai. Okay. So Ja'far bin Abi Talib is also the cousin of the Prophet, is the brother of Ali bin Abi Talib, and he was killed in the 8th year after Hijrah when they went to a battle in a place called Mu'tah, right? The battle of Mu'tah, it was a place close to Sham, Syria. At that time the Prophet sent his companions, some of his companions, to fight with the Roman Empire. Okay, and it was a very serious battle. Okay, and the number of the Muslims was very, 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 very few compared to that of the Roman Empire. Okay, so when they were going, the Prophet told them, they appointed Zayd bin Haritha as the leader of the group. And he said, if Zayd bin Haritha gets killed, okay, then Ja'far bin Abi Talib should stand as the leader. And if Ja'far gets killed, then Abdullah bin Rawaha should stand as the leader. Right? And if him to get killed, then somebody among you should stand as the leader. And they went, Zayd bin Haritha was killed, Ja'far took over as the leader, he was also killed, Abdullah bin Rawaha took over, he was also killed. Alright? And after that, Khalid bin Walid, alright, took control of the army and he withdrew the army from the battlefield. Because they could not withstand the Roman Empire at that time. Okay? Now I said they were in Sham. The Prophet was in Medina. Who called it? Now? Angel degree. Alright, there's two folks. Isn't it? It's not possible for you to know. So it was part of the miracles of the Prophet. We mentioned before how Najashi died in Ethiopia and the Prophet informed the companions in Medina. The same thing here, Ja'far bin Abi Talib is being killed in Sham and the Prophet is informing the companions in Medina. This has to be by revelation. Okay? Now, so when he was informed by that revelation, he now said, prepare food for the family of Ja'far. This is part of the good practices in Islam. When somebody dies, the neighbor should prepare food and take to the house of that person. Not the way we are turning it around today. I mean, is that what we are doing? What are we doing today? People go there to go and, you know, subhanAllah. I remember when my father died. And I was standing in front of the house, somebody dropped from the bike, he came. Alright, and as he's dropping, he saw a young boy, he said, guys, they think that the room has been even before entering to go and greet people inside the house, alright, as he's dropping from the machine, he called his father, he said, go inside and go and get me food. So it was who that bought it. Alright? Sometimes this will continue for 3 days. Sometimes it will continue for 7 days. So now, when somebody dies for you, you are thinking about the dead person, you are also thinking about how to entertain this. Alright? That is burden upon body. Alright? This is wrong. Alright? This is wrong. Rather, it is people around that should prepare food and take to that house. Some scholars permit that if you have visitors coming from far, okay, then it may be permissible to prepare food for such kind of visitors. But people around in the same town, in the same environment, they come to the house to eat again, this is completely not allowed in Islam. No. Then one Salama, one Suleiman, Suleiman bin Buraida, an Abihi Kala, Kana Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, yu'allimuhum idha kharaju ila al-maqabir. He said Rasulullah needs to teach them, the companion, whenever they go out to the graveyard, and yaqulu is to teach them to say, this is the supplication you make when you visit the graveyard. As-salamu ala ahli diyar. Peace be upon the people of this home, that is the graveyard. Min al-mu'minin wal-muslimin, among the people of Iman and people of Islam, right, both Muslims, alright, and mu'minun. Wa inna insha'Allahu bikum lahikun. And we, insha'Allah, by the will of Allah, we are going to join you. Alright, okay. Nas'alu Allah lana wa lakum al-afiyah. We ask Allah for us and for you well-being. Good well, al-afiyah is good well-being. Okay? Rawahu Muslim. So that is what you say when you visit the graveyard. Okay? You have another version of this same prayer in the next hadith. وعن ابن عباس رضي الله تعالى عنهما قال إذا مر رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم بقبور المدينة the prophet passed by the graveyard of Medina فأقبل عليهم بوجهه he now faced them with his face alright he faced them فقال he now said السلام عليكم يا أهل القبور peace be upon you all you people of this graveyard يغفر الله لنا ولكم may Allah forgive us and you أنتم سلفنا you are our predecessors. Alright, you have gone there before, isn't it? Wa nahnu bil athar, and we are following your footsteps, we are coming behind you. Wa tirmidhi wa qala hasan. Okay, so these are the supplications that you make when you visit the graveyard. It is good, if we have any graveyard, this supplication can be printed. Alright, we can print it on the signboard and hang it by the fence of the grave so that people can recite it before they enter the graveyard. It's good, inshallah, so that people can learn it. Okay. Then وعن عائشة رضي الله تعالى عنها قالت قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم لا تسبوا الأموات do not abuse the dead. Okay. فإنهم قد أفضوا إلى ما قدموا because they have seen the result of what they have sent for. Alright, they are dead. Alright, if they are going to paradise, they will see it already. Alright, if they are going to hellfire, they will have seen it already. So let them face whatever they have sent for. You don't have to start abusing them here in this world. Okay, رواه البخاري وروى الترمذي عن المغيرة نحو الترمذي also reported from المغيرة something similar لكن قال in that in his own narration he said the prophet said for to do الأحياء meaning don't abuse the dead otherwise you will be harming those alive meaning you will be harming his relatives isn't it because nobody will be happy that people are abusing their dead person isn't it so by the time you abuse the dead, you are harming those alive, meaning his relatives, but they will not be happy. So we do not abuse the dead, whether they are Muslims or non-Muslims. Okay, whether they are Muslims or non-Muslims, allow them to face whatever they have sent forth in the hereafter. Okay, but we don't abuse. If they are Muslims, we supplicate for them. If they are non-Muslims, we just keep quiet. Let's leave them alone. Okay. I think that is the last hadith in the chapter, isn't it? Now we we'll stop here. Whatever was said, described in the Allah word of. Whatever we have made mistakes, may Allah forgive us, may Allah increase us in knowledge. Subhanaka Allahumma bihamdik. Ashhadu an la ilaha illa anta. Astaghfiruka wa atubu. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Back of Musa. Then we do find what to do. Yes. No. Yes. In Islam, the Prophet said, "Ijtanibu as-sab'a al-mubiqat," isn't it? We should avoid seven destroyers. All right. and they started mentioning that al-ishraq billah was sihr. Among that, he said, "Watawalli yawm al-sahr," alright, to somber on the day of the battle. Okay, yes, watawalli yawm al-sahr. It is haram for you to go on the battle field, then you withdraw. Okay, however, if this is in a situation where the number of the enemy is double your number or less. Okay, in Islam, you know, initially we were asked to fight even if the number of the enemy is 10 times our number. Alright? In yakun minkum 20 sabiran yaghlibu 200. Alright, if there are 20 people among you that are patient, they should be able to overpower 200. So if there's 20 to fight 200, it means one person will fight 10 people. يرضى لأن لذا إذا الآن خفف الله عنكم وعلم أن فيكم ضعفا إذن فإن يكون منكم مئة صابرة يجب 200 إذا يكون ذلك among you they can fight 200 so that means 1% to 2%. For this battle of Musa, that number of the Muslims was 30,000. The number of the Roman Empire was 100,000. You understand? So withdrawal was the best thing. So they kill everybody there. So they had to withdraw. Round the day. Seriously.
Someone is struggling with you and they are telling me that they can have it, and I want to check. Because you don't send to me often. I think of a thing that you have to do with the people of Adam, who said that he was a number of people, and he asked for it. It was one
highlighting that he was a force. So I want to
listen to Adam.
What did they mention? What did they say in the hadith? Okay, fine. Now, so concerning the first question, when I said the Prophet sat by the side of grace, it doesn't mean that the Prophet sat on the grace. Alright? While they are praying, you can look for any grace to sit up. Alright? That's what it simply means. Okay? It doesn't mean that you sit on the grace. The Prophet never sat on the grace. He prohibited it. So why would he do it himself? Okay? So you don't sit on the grace. Well, you can, like our own grace, now you have fallen trees, you have whatever, you can get one place and sit. Alright? And sit. That's not the problem. Okay, but to sit on the grave, it is prohibited. I hope it is clear. Now, that concerning this, okay, what that hadith is mentioned is referring to is that it is legislated, it's allowed in Islam for people to raise, in fact, that is the sunnah, to raise their voices aloud when they are doing the askar that you do after salah. Alright, astaghfirullah, Allahumma anta salam, wa minka salam. The normal askar. Alright, that is what the hadith is referring to. Not that congregationally they start singing it, or that's what the hadith is saying. Alright, but people raise their voice to say it individually. Everybody is saying your own. So definitely, if everyone is raising their voice, if you're outside, you will hear. hear them. So that is what Abdullah ibn Abbas said, that I used to recognize that they have finished prayer when I hear those azkar. Right? Because it means that you will not do that azkar or sleep, the prayer is over. Yeah, but to say that they used to be singing it the way our people are doing it today, that is not what this hadith is referring to. Yeah, but sir? The break. The lahad. Inside, yes.
Now, we are now feeling Islam. You place the first job before you jump to the other side, you feel it.
Yes.
But where we now believe for our feet, for a coordination, you feel the job on the other side.
No, you place that you go. Alright, because the other side is under, alright, it's under a flat land now, alright. Yeah. So it depends on your door. You know, it's not a thing it's going to go inside very well. Alright, just small place where that's why I said that you just dig the dead body lying on its right side, facing the Qibla. But because the place is small, that's why they have to put blocks. I think they were using bricks, alright, to support it, to make it stand. Otherwise it will fall back, alright, because it's not a thing, it's very deep inside. You can see?
The place is
then inside. That's it. Alright, we don't do it here. Alright, but in Arabia where they do it, they know. Alright, they understand the pattern, how they do it. So they don't end up having this problem that you are mentioning. Alright, we don't do it here. It's not our tradition. Our son, the nature of the center of our son will not even permit it. But they do it in their place and they know how they do it. As for the duration, alright, the duration is when the body of the person inside has been completely eaten by the earth, alright, it's no longer there again. Then we can bury another person there. How do we know that? People of experience, alright, can determine that based on the number of years that it took to bury somebody inside the grave. You understand? So they can come to know that there is nobody. Even here, on several occasions, we go to bury somebody and as you are digging, you see bone, alright, small bone. It means that the person who owns that bone has been for a very long time. The earth has almost finished eating everything. What is left? That small bone that you see. Yes, and that small bone will now be carried and buried separately by the side. Yeah. So we now bury other things. So it means we are buried on the place where somebody has already buried before. Okay. So after a very long while, when the earth has finished eating the entire body, then you can bury another person there, inshallah. You are here. Somebody has been saying, salam alaikum.
Okay. But I want
to
like,
mutilating the dead body or cut or breaking his bone, something like that.
When somebody gets married to somebody, she has a pregnancy and after seeing the transformation period, she is feeling the situation when she died pregnancy. And we our son has now used us a method of the child with a baby, sure, I think, and the mother is on. So, are we now, if we are lacking transformation here, are we now, our son has now got to bring her out to bury her or bury her together with her?
You bury her together with the mother. Alright, it's very hard to get very detached together. The only situation where you can mutilate a pregnant woman is if doctors or people have friends see that the baby is still alive. Do you understand? So that an operation can be performed to remove the baby and the baby will leave, then we can do so. Alright, but to say that the baby is a Muslim, we don't know what the baby will become when it goes off. Alright, so he has died with his mother, but anything like that. So long as the child is dead. That's all. Just let me check like that. But I will be present. Allah will have it. You
can go? Yeah.
I have
already decided that. If I'm going to start, next week, we have our Tafsir Isha.